I'm running around the studio here and with my, like a chicken with my head cut off. Rufus explained that, Patrick. He explained that last week or the week before. I don't.
Well, that upset some of our
listeners. I'm sure it did. I tried to get you not to do it, but people of your stature don't listen to us peons.
I had to really describe how chicken used to get on the table at home.
He's going to do it again.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to describe that again. But those chickens would run 25 or 30 feet with their head cut off.
Oh, yeah. You remember the story I told you about the chickens being delivered to the restaurant there in Boone, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Now, that one's worth hearing again.
Well, let me introduce who we have here first, if I can remember. We got, boy, those glasses are outstanding, Rufus. Yeah. Are they? They're not Dollar Tree, are they?
Well, the first real prescription glasses I've ever had.
I thought you lost them.
And I want to go back to my. No, that's my ring I lost again.
Okay.
But I want to go back to my old Dollar Tree glasses.
Okay, they did a little too sophisticated for you.
Much too sophisticated. Somebody said it looks like Chapel Hill.
What power do you wear now? Just in case people want to contribute.
Well, that'd be 300.
300.
Yeah.
You don't want 300 pair. You just want plus 300.
I want the power of 300.
All right, that's Rufus Edmonston, in case you didn't get that. Patrick McMillan, who has done everything horticultural-wise, is with us, a retired Clemson professor, and has done so much in the plant world. And we're so honored always to have you. I'm really surprised you agreed to be to tell you the truth.
Love being here. Wouldn't miss
Thank
it.
You very
Wouldn't
much.
Miss the morning with either one of you.
Well, we have Andrea, Miss Andrea Lane in person, Bakersville, North Carolina, Mitchell County. How cold is it up there this morning, ma'am?
Oh, not bad at all today. It's about 30 degrees.
Oh, well, wow. It's about the same
heat,
here.
It's a heat wave in the mountains.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, something must be blooming then.
Yeah.
Especially since we've already had snow like twice or three times. I don't know. Oh. I'm starting to lose count, and it's only December.
Well, we've almost beat Boone on that.
Are you glad to see it? You always glad to see the snow, or you feared of it?
Perfectly fine when they have nowhere to go.
Well, we just dominated this morning. I'm a down easterner, and the rest of the folks here are mountain people. Now, Andrea is Patrick was a master gardener in Durham County, but she and her husband moved to Mitchell County, and she's a master gardener up there now. And she's been on the show with us for many years. Do you know Patrick McMillan, Andrea?
I do not.
Well, he is.
It's nice to meet you, Andrea. And you're living in a place that's much easier to keep your garden watered. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it comes down from the mountain sometimes.
There are definitely advantages to both places.
Are you near a waterfall?
No, but I have creek running on my property.
Oh, so nice.
You know,
well,
I don't have to put out a bird bath if I know that there's water nearby.
How about that? So, Patrick, you're originally from Sparta?
Yeah, Allegheny County. Yeah. Cherry Lane. The metropolis of Cherry Lane. Yeah.
That is a pumpkin haven. I remember driving up there to a family reunion or something in August several years ago, and I couldn't believe all the pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. But the county,
pumpkin patches.
County has really transformed into a huge pumpkin county. Yeah, the Bottomley pumpkin farms are huge up there.
I like the pipe factory up there, Dr. Grabo.
Oh, that's the building's still there.
Yeah, okay.
You might be able to go in there and find you a pipe somewhere, Rufus.
That was everything when I was growing up.
You might have to dust it off.
The world sort of revolved around the pipe factory, and, you know, we had a lot of industry up there when I was growing up.
Well, I have a good collection of pipes from there. I had a friend that worked there, and they had some hand-carved pipes made for me when I ran for governor that had on them, "I'm for Rufus."
I'm for Rufus, didn't you?
Yeah. It was very easy to keep up with what you were doing.
Do you remember the sign they had, though? It was Dr. Grabo pre-smoked pipes.
Absolutely.
So I kept saying, who is the cat that's smoking those pipes?
Who was the guy that kept on puffing and puffing and puffing?
And what a job.
Huh? What a job.
Gee whiz. Now, I just get to see. Good morning, Mike. This article clarifies chicken egg color. Genetics, again, is the key. Have a great show. Now, let me explain that. I went out to lunch with Johnny Coley and Paul McKenzie yesterday up in Oxford. And Johnny gave me some eggs from his chickens on his farm. And we were talking about white and brown. He says, "Well, it's it depends on the color of their ears. It matches their ears." I don't know where.
Now, that's a new one on me.
Well,
I'm a chicken guy.
Yeah.
Well, it does have to do with.
What about a Dominecker? They have a Dominecker ears.
I don't know. I've never noticed a chicken's ears, but apparently, if they got white eggs. According to Johnny, white eggs means they got white ears.
I read with something I picked up, I believe, at the State Farmers Market, that it has to do with their feed.
Well, this says generally hens with white earlobes will produce white earlobes will produce white eggs. That's what this article in Johnny's listening. He says it's the earlobes. Boy, have any of you ever seen an
ear?
Now, all the time I spent with chickens, I never saw their ears.
It's behind the feathers somewhere.
Yeah. Now they have a little. They're just like a lizard, kind of just a little indentation there. That's their ear.
Yeah, but apparently they have
to Google that up.
They have a lobe, Rufus.
Oh man!
Thank you, Johnny. Don't you have anything better to do than listen to this show?
I've got to say, I learned something this morning.
Yeah, dadgum. Yeah. Well, I always learn something from Paul and Johnny.
And, well, I wonder if the earlobes have any relationship to how long they'll run with their head cut off.
I wonder if they have little earrings for chickens.
Hey, I want to hear the chicken feed delivery to Boone story, because I missed that one.
Oh, it wasn't chicken feed. It was chickens.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
So I had an uncle back at, this is back in the, I guess about 1980, but I had an uncle who had ran a restaurant called the Windmill Restaurant, because we had the huge debacle of the windmill up on top of the hill there in Boone.
Now, you're talking about Boone there, Andrea.
Yeah, right in Boone, yeah. Uh-huh. And there was a real salesman came by and said, "I got a real deal for you on chickens. I got 200 chickens," and the price was a third of what he regularly paid. So on the Sunday buffet, he had everything chicken figured out that was going to be on the buffet, and the chicken delivery didn't seem to come, and he went to the back alley there behind the right down in downtown Boone, and there were 200 chickens all sitting there in cages.
Nice. What does one do?
I think we probably did what Rufus was talking about last week.
but there were chickens.
There were chickens running all over Boone. Chickens were escaping. It was a whole debacle.
Talk about a miscommunication.
Oh, pretty bad.
I picked some winter sweet.
Oh, I love that.
This morning, I walked outside, and they smell like banana kits, Professor, to me.
Oh, wonderful! Yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful plant.
Winter sweet.
Banana pudding.
I don't know what variety this is. I've had it a long time. Somebody else gave me one that has look more like witch hazel.
Yeah, this one's leaves. Nice and yellow. I'm not sure what the selection is, but
it's huge.
You know, you see them white flowers with a red center. These are really nice sized flowers. So witch hazel is a really great plant for adding color in your garden. You can actually add color from October, November, all the way till leaves come out in the spring if you plant different varieties of witch hazel. But Chimonanthus praecox is winter sweet. And that one almost smells like the Michelia figo, the banana magnolia.
Take one out and stick it up to your nostril. You can get a better idea, Rufus. Take one home with you.
When I first smelled that, I thought, that's a banana pudding tree.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man. I'll tell you, when it's a little... I'm sorry you can't smell this, Andrea.
I'm going to the plant toolbox to at least look it up. And
yeah.
See if I...
I'll take a photo and text it to you of these. But I've had it in my landscape, and I look forward to it blooming more than anything in my landscape, and it started blooming a couple of weeks ago. The most of the buds are pretty tight because we've had some cold weather. But I guess yesterday made some of them come out a little more. And but when they all come out and it's a warmish day, you know, 60s. It just permeates the landscape. Yeah. It smells like bananas.
That's always been a big thing for me is. I'm the kind of person, I don't enjoy the gray times of the year, you know, and I think we all need a little flowering in our life during the cold gray months of winter, and that's a great one to bring a little joy to the landscape.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm waiting for the Daphne, too.
The Daphne's wonderful, too, but temperamental.
Yes.
Well, I'll have to find the photo of it. I have one, Doctor, that I received as a gift. It had to have been 20 years ago, or maybe more. And I set it aside. I put it behind some shrubs in the front yard. I was going to put it there, and I forgot about it.
It rooted right in.
It rooted right in.
Yeah.
And the container busted, and it fell away. And so I got the container off of it, and I have a huge, huge Mahonia that's there kind of in a corner of a house, and it's right beside it, and the Daphne is very near where it was planted, where it planted itself, is right near a vent for the dryer.
Oh, wow.
And it's very sloped there.
So the drainage, that's how you did it.
So
you found it
was just sitting on the ground and grew in how far ever it wanted to. And then it grew around.
There we go. Microclimate.
It grew around the Mahonia. So it's about halfway around. I'll show you a picture when I can find it.
Yeah, that's great.
It's incredible. Yeah. I don't know.
Finally cracked the code on how to grow Daphne.
Apparently
I have.
Forget
about them. Forget about them.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 8:20. We're just having a time in here. I'm working on stuff, and we have if we don't have enough celebrities in here right now, we got Andre, we got the state auditor coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm Dave Bolick is going to be here. Tony Rigsby and I worked with his father, or he worked hard on us. he was an A1 plus journalist. A lot of people probably saw him on television, but he was with our company for back in the 80s, and he was a tough guy, but he was a wonderful person, and one of the smartest people I've ever known. So his son is auditor now, and I'm sure he's probably been to the Burnsville, Bakersville area. Because he's really been working hard on this Helene stuff, but he's been traveling all over the state, and he's going to come up and join us. He's a friend of Rufus, like everybody else in the world, and he's coming up about 9 o'clock, and we're going to talk about something. Hopefully, it's no problem with us is the reason he's coming. So I'm just a little concerned. You know, this show is.
Well, I did bring up his bio on the state website.
Very impressive gentleman. As was his father.
He doesn't mention gardening. So
I would think that he probably doesn't have a lot of time for gardening, but he's smart enough. He probably knows about growing stuff. At some point in his life, he's probably done that, or maybe his wife does. Yeah, maybe his wife has time. I don't know if she has time either. But at any rate, we're honored to have the state auditor, Dave Bolick, with us, and he'll get some peanut brittle, too. I'm sorry you're not here. That's another thing. Melissa's peanut brittle. Did I ever give you any when you were here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well.
I've had all the goodies from Melissa.
But Patrick brought something from his wife. A couple of things here. Now, Patrick, you made this. Tell us what it is in the jar.
It's actually plum butter. So if you've ever had apple butter, you have no idea what you're missing, because plum butter is so much.
Rufus, you're going to slather that on some bread?
Oh, good. Light bread, yeah.
And
light bread. And what is this?
That's potato candy. And so that's an old-timey thing. I knew Rufus would love it because he's from up in the hills, too. After Thanksgiving, you got all those leftover mashed potatoes. What do you do with them? Well, you make potato candy out of them, freeze it, and then you have potato candy at Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A good portion of it is peanut butter, too.
Yeah, peanut butter and potato, and it's nothing really like it.
A little bit of sugar in there.
I have never heard of it before, but I'm not a mountain man.
It got the thumbs up, though, right, Rufus?
It got two thumbs up. It's fantastic. Tell her how to make it, Patrick.
Well, yes, if I knew how to make it, I'd tell you.
Oh, you don't know how to make it. Okay. You're the mountain. Well, where's your wife from?
Obviously, it's potatoes and peanut butter, and the potatoes are sweetened.
Yeah.
And then the peanut butter is rolled into it so that it has a nice little, I'm just going to eat some more.
You just make it. I think she used like a little more than a half cup of potatoes in there, and per recipe, per time she makes it. And you just roll it out into a roll and stick it in the freezer. I'm sure it's not as hard to make as.
I don't think it probably takes any cooking.
I don't know. To be honest, I didn't watch her make it yesterday. But
is your wife from the mountains?
She is. So Wayna is from her family's long time in the mountains, from Allegheny County.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, Allegheny County. Her folks used to own Stone Mountain.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, back
Lord
in the day.
Mercy.
Her
not Georgia, are, but.
Yeah, the real one.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
real one. The one that is Allegheny-Wilkes County border.
Picturesque of all of our state parks, I think.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah, and they've done a really great job with state parks of applying management there lately. If you haven't been taking that walk up to the top of Stone Mountain in a long time, you should. They've been doing a lot of controlled burns there, opening up the understory, it's beautiful. It's like a grassy glade underneath the trees now when you're walking up towards the big rock outcrop on Stone Mountain.
Y'all haven't had any earthquakes up there lately, have you? I haven't heard of any.
Well, we went through that.
Sure did. About a five.
Of earthquakes. Yeah.
Had about a five up there. I didn't know if that cracked Stone Mountain.
I was still working at Clemson, and we went back up to the mountains one day after the earthquake, and I never thought we'd have an earthquake and knock a clock off a wall and stuff in Allegheny County, but we sure did. We sure did.
It's rough. Yeah.
But anyway, that's Allegheny.
That's a beautiful place. Last time we were up there, my wife didn't like me driving so fast down the mountain.
Oh, coming down 21 Mountain? They changed the speed limit now. I think
this was one of those like that. I mean, you kind of... back and forth.
There's more than one way up and down the mountain in Sparta. You can go down 18 Mountain to Wilkesboro.
18.
Right.
Gorgeous.
Most folks get there. Most folks don't go there. They go through there, right? They go to Mount Rogers or White Top or somewhere else, West Jefferson. But, 21 Mountain is the main route you think of, goes down to Elkin. But then there's my favorite way to get down the mountain, which is Oklahoma Road.
Oklahoma Road.
You got me on that one.
Oklahoma Road.
Oklahoma Road. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we'll find out about Oklahoma Road in near Sparta coming up here in WPTF. Take your calls, 919-860-9783. 919-860-WPTF. More coming up on The Weekend Gardener. On WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmonston, Andrea Lane. Dr. Patrick McMillan is with us, retired Clemson professor. And we've had a pretty good time here the last half hour. Let's keep it going.
You mean half an hour is gone already?
Yeah, man. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much at all. So, Andrea, tell us about what you've been doing up there with the Master Gardeners, and what have you been planting or taking care of, or what's going on up there?
Well, you know, my garden is sort of shut down for this season. You asked earlier, you said something about something must be growing, and
so you got pumpkin patch?
My brain, and I can come up with nothing.
you don't have a pumpkin patch there?
No, we don't have a pumpkin patch, but I do have an herb garden right outside my office window. And I transplanted some thyme from the raised bed, where they grew this summer, to this patch, which is in the ground and closer to the front, the door, where I can, you know, actually use it while I'm cooking. And so I'm thrilled that it's still alive. It's alive and kicking. It looks like it took well to the transplant, and it, so far the snows haven't bothered it. The sage was also kind of tamped down. We had some snow and iciness, but that's popped up as well. And, of course, I'll trim that in the spring, so I'm not so concerned about what it looks like right now.
Well, very good.
Well, now, have you any Daphnes up there, Andrea?
Daphne? No.
Well, they will grow in the mountains.
They do.
Well, they should be happy up there. Cool weather and lots of slopes, good drainage.
I literally transplanted one time, Patrick, from here to my brother Baker in Boone, and it's still on the place there.
Wow. So
he must neglect it.
Is it phytophthora root rot that usually gets them, doctor?
Well, it's the curse of the clay, I think, more than anything in our area. It can be phytophthora. It can also just be that they don't like to poor drainage, and clay holding so much moisture right up next to the roots is really difficult on them. Now, over at Juniper Level Botanic Garden, we've got a number of species that are growing in crevice gardens. Species that you wouldn't normally be able to grow in North Carolina with our humid summers and that issue we have with the clay in the soil in the Piedmont. Once you build a crevice garden, you can magically kind of grow any of that stuff because it provides ideal drainage.
Rufus, put those glasses back on.
Now, I've never heard of a crevice garden.
Yeah, so
wow.
Are you familiar with that, Andrea?
I am. Yeah. The master gardeners are very much into it.
Yeah.
Across the state, not just where I am.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, maybe I just call it something different.
Well, it's kind of a rock garden.
Okay, all right.
It's kind of a pocket garden.
It's kind of a pocket garden. They can be any size, and you can use literally any type of rock in the as structure when you're building a crevice garden. At Juniper Level, we used recycled concrete. to build the structure for the crevice garden. And the trick with crevice gardens is you're taking rocks, you're putting them as close together as you can possibly get them, and then for us, we use Permatil, which is kind of a magical product for the garden anyway.
Yep.
And I use about half Permatil, half
just pouring it down the crevices.
Soil. Yeah, just mix it up and fill the crevices with that.
Right.
I let it settle a little while, and then I'll come back in and I'll put a little more in, let it settle a few more days, and then plant. And when you plant between those crevices, what the rock does is it holds enough moisture to keep plants alive, but it drains all the moisture out really quickly that would sit around the roots. So it's a way we found. I'm a big fern gardener, so I love ferns, and I have a collection at home, probably 60 ferns that nobody would ever think you could grow in North Carolina, because they're desert or rock ferns from the Southwest. There were some of them even from our area, but they're not plants that do well in regular garden soil because they're native habitats out on rock outcrops. But
why do they do well where you're growing them?
Because I'm growing in that crevice garden. And so they stay moist enough to have just the right moisture, but they don't rot, and that's the trick.
So I just stack up some rocks.
Well, the art of the crevice garden, if you start looking them up, I'm not a real fan of the ones that look like an alligator's back. I like to make it look a little more natural. But what you're doing is you're putting rocks on their long axis up and down. Right?
Okay.
And you're putting them close enough together to leave little crevices. And so what you're making is like a rock outcrop, but the crevice is elongated down through the rocks.
Correct.
Yep. So you literally can make it out of any kind of rock that pleases you. And I don't know why everybody doesn't have at least a small one.
I guess you could use really brick great. If you wanted to.
You could use anything. Yeah, you just have to. The only thing you have to be concerned about is the chemistry of the rock that you're using. So if we're using limestone, obviously it's going to have calcium. It's going to have a higher pH. If we're using just old slabs of granite, it's going to be the opposite. So, just knowing the rock you're using and what will thrive under the condition is part of the deal.
Rufus, do you know the rock you're using?
No, I don't. No, I do not.
Most of them I see in the area, most of them I built are just Tennessee Fieldstone because it's one of the most available, most benign rocks you can put into the landscape.
Now, Andrea sent me link, or actually the article, the Crevice Garden Guilford County Extension Demonstration Garden.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on Burlington Road in Greensboro. How about that? So it gives a that's on the Extension Gardener Plant Toolbox, Rufus.
Yep.
So you can find it on there if you haven't gotten enough information from the professor. Here on WPTF, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener. It's 8:40. We're back on WPTF. Mike Rayley here, Rufus Edmonston, Dr. Patrick McMillan, retired professor at Clemson University. And Patrick, you were just showing me some photos of Algerian.
They're called Aral Iris, and they're from the Middle East. So they're unbelievable. If you know what a German bearded iris looks like.
Yeah.
Essentially, imagine a bearded iris plant, but with flower color combinations and shape combinations that just seem like they're from outer space. And that's kind of what you have in an Aral iris. Never, ever been successfully grown in the eastern United States outside because of our drainage problem, our humidity problem. But we've got tons of varieties now growing over at Juniper Level Botanic Garden. So make a trip over there in mid-spring, and you'll be shocked to see what's growing out of it. We have the largest crevice garden, display garden in America there at the Juniper Level Botanic Garden right here in Raleigh.
How is I know Tony grows all kinds of stuff that shouldn't be growing here, but
correct.
How is he growing it?
How is he growing it? Well, it's just in the crevice garden. So,
it is a crevice garden?
Yeah, it's a crevice garden. So it opens up a whole new palette and a whole new opportunity to plant plants that normally we wouldn't think about being able to grow here.
Rufus, you've never had a crevice garden?
Well, we're going to get one. Now, I've got a rock garden, but no crevice garden. Now, it would depend on what kind of shade or no shade, what kind of plants you put in there.
Right, yeah. We've done some experimentation with shady sites. It's definitely something you think about being more in a full sun location.
Right.
Because more of the really unique things that make it desirable in landscape are there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the plants, you know, a lot of the plants that I've been experimenting with and that I have been growing are what we call near native plants. They're plants from places like West Texas and southeastern Arizona. And we find that some of those plants make great landscape plants in our area that don't require a lot of extra water, that do better with hotter, warmer, drier summers that we've been experiencing. And some of them do need to grow in the crevice garden. But what's really neat about those near natives is because our native insects and our native birds that eat the native insects, all those things depend on us having plants that feed that life. And with the problems we're having with water lately, and heat, sometimes even our native plants aren't performing as well as we'd like to, particularly if your front yard has to look good. And so part of the research that I've been doing is looking at bringing in plants that provide that because they're related or they're very closely related to our local natives, but they don't require the extra water, and they look better in a front yard where you have HOA.
Did I see an iris in that crevice garden there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a number of iris that do really well in the crevice garden.
The roots got to touch a little soil, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's what's half soil, half permatill in the mix that I use. And Tony's, but we do have some that are growing in just straight permatill in some of those beds out at Tony's and still.
Do you ever have to water
sometimes
crevice garden?
Sometimes. You always have to pay attention to your plants. No plant is self-contained.
So
they just droop? You're looking for the droopy plant, or
declining.
How do you know?
It depends on the type of plant. But yeah. I'll have to show you some of my fern collection sometime, and it's pretty amazing.
What's the difference in a rock garden and a crevice garden?
Well, rock garden just has rocks in it.
So you got a stack of rocks out at your place,
yeah,
Rufus?
Oh yeah,
so,
oh yeah.
You know, rock garden is a crevice garden is a rock garden, but it's a type of rock garden. Actually, and very strangely, it started in Eastern Europe. Started in, I think, the Czech Republic is where they figured out that this was really the way to go. Only in the last 20 or so years has it really caught on this side of the Atlantic.
Where is your rock garden, Rufus, at your place?
It's near that mystery tree. To the right of the mystery tree.
Vietnam evergreen maple?
Yes, the one that stumped Nelsa, of all people.
Boy.
Patrick needs to check it out, too.
Were you there, Andrea, the garden party when we had the contest of who could name what it was?
No, she was in Burnsville or Bakersville.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, have you ever heard of a Vietnam evergreen maple?
I can't say I have.
Okay. Well, neither had Nelsa.
But she admitted she was wrong. Huh?
Yeah, fine. On the program.
That takes a lot.
With a lie detector, she
admitted that. I mean, she admits she's wrong, but she's usually right.
Yeah, totally.
So I was surprised, but Mark Wethington said it was – and that's where you got it from the Arboretum, isn't it?
Yes.
Acer Fabri, yeah. Yep. The emerald jade maple, we call it. Yeah.
Jade.
Yeah. Emerald jade.
Yeah.
Had you ever heard of it, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Nelsa's mother said it looked like bamboo.
Bamboo, yes.
Right. Yeah, so. Yeah, the leaves don't look like a maple leaf. Yeah.
And the stem looks bambooish.
Yes. Yeah, it's a vining maple in the wild. So it's kind of an odd thing. You know, we were talking about crevice garden, and I want to veer us off and talk about winter flowers for a minute, because we live in a part of the country where you can have flowers all year long unless you're up in the mountains.
Yep, I got some right here.
Go.
It's a blooming shrub.
So I'd love to hear what people's favorites are, but I do have one that I like. It frustrates the living daylights out of me, but I do grow it in my crevice garden. It is Algerian iris, which is Iris unguicularis. And that iris looks a little like a Siberian iris or Dutch iris. Has short blooms, but it blooms in the winter.
Oh.
So it's actually an iris that you can have in the garden that will flower over the winter.
Sounds like something Rufus needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're giving me all kinds of ideas here.
No need to go without flowers if you're in the Piedmont.
Now, see, we usually think of camellias.
Yeah.
Right.
Your crevice garden rock looked to me more like it was layers of slate or something like that.
A lot of people will use slate. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people use slate.
Andrea, do you have any of this? I mean, I would think you could grow it up there, couldn't you?
The which one?
The Algerian?
No.
Too cold?
Sadly, Mitchell County and Yancey County may be some of the few places in Avery, and the spine of the Appalachians. You're going to have to suffer a little while without flowers.
So is it happy on the coast of North Carolina?
Very happy, yeah. The coast and the Piedmont, it's basically will go down to a zone 7B.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely something I miss about gardening in the Piedmont, is having, there's practically no winter. I know it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
To many.
Yeah.
But, you know, by February, you're seeing buds.
Oh, sure.
Forming
sure.
on trees and stuff. So so that's, I do miss that.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't have down here, Andrea, mm-hmm. 8-foot dahlias like grow in the mountains.
That's right. That's true.
That's true. And rhododendron aplenty.
Yeah. Those cool nights are really magic for growing a lot of those things. That's very true.
Well, let me ask you and Patrick a question. My Confederate rose, mm-hmm. Of course, the frost hit it, died down. I cut the stalks down yesterday too quick?
No, I don't think so. I think you're fine. Yeah, yeah. As long as you've gotten a frost on it,
I was just in a mood with
sure, yeah,
with cutters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's dangerous, Rufus.
I know.
I mean, you could hear plants screaming all over the garden. Rufus has got
his coming. Harry's coming. He's got his clippers.
Yeah,
yeah. That's exactly what was happening. That's dangerous.
That is in the mallow family.
It is. It's a hibiscus, basically. Yeah.
Not in the mallow cup family. Yeah. But,
good old mallow cups.
Mallow cup. There's a plant called a mallow cup. You know.
Oh my goodness!
Does it smell like one?
Oh my gosh!
Did you used to buy those at the canteen, Rufus?
Well, no, I remember when I used to listen to the Lone Ranger, the Broken Arrow on radio years ago. You save up enough mallow cup guards and send in, and you could get a box of mallow cups.
They're still there.
Andrea, do you know what we're talking about?
Cards right in the back.
Yeah.
Still there.
I'm afraid I don't.
These are candy. Didn't they have those in Pennsylvania? Mallow cups? They look kind of like Reese cups, but they're
filled with goo.
Yeah.
good goo, white goo.
I'm still stuck on potato candy. So,
I
googled it during the commercial, and I thought,
don't they sell it somewhere in Bakersville? Or
I'm sure people
I've
up
never
there
seen
make
it. And it's what I read is actually the Pioneer Woman had a recipe, they said that it was. Brought to the Appalachians by European immigrants.
Yeah.
So I am a descendant of European immigrants, and I now live in Appalachia.
You should
really work on that this weekend.
Did they tell you how to do it?
I think I might. I actually think I might. It's easy.
What you need to do is have some fried chicken and cream potatoes and save some of those potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you won't be disappointed. It is just delicious.
When was the last time you had some, Rufus? Can you remember?
Oh, it's when I was a boy.
Oh, my
God. That mama made. Yeah.
That's
my
wonderful.
Dear mama.
Yeah. She made everything, didn't she?
She certainly did. I don't know. One of her favorites was making grape juice from the local Concord grapes.
Right,
she didn't
let
it harden, though, did she?
Well,
occasionally that happened, ours, I know.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
There were some tricks that went on down in her basement she didn't know about.
The boys let it harden.
Yeah, there were some boys.
Set some aside.
About five boys.
Rufus, when you picked the fox grape, we used to call them fox grapes.
Fox grape.
The wild Concord grape.
Yep.
But now when you made that grape juice, did she leave some grapes in the bottom of the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the old
half gallon jars of grape juice. And I miss that so much.
Oh, it was so good.
Well, if she found out it was hardened, she would be quoting some scripture, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, he who holds his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here. Rufus Edmonston is across there, donning his, at one point, donning his glasses I gave him last week. They came from St. Michael's Episcopal Church and the store there.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, they have blinking lights on top of you. If you see the Weekend Gardener Facebook page from last week or my Facebook page, then you could see the...
You think that might attract the auditor's attention or something?
I think you should... well, he may want one. I think that would make quite a splash if he wore those into a place he was getting ready to audit.
Well, a reign of terror would
They would
set
certainly
in.
Know. They would certainly know that he was coming that
The Inquisition
way.
Is coming with lights.
Right. So hopefully we haven't done anything wrong, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah,
because he'll be here at 9 o'clock. I'm sending
squeaky clean
Brother Rigsby down to get him. So, but of course I have to remind Tony to go down and get him. So we'll have him come. And I don't know that he's texted me. Let me check now. All right. Well, we'll send Tony down and see what Dave Bolick Jr. has to say, especially about Dave Bolick Sr., who I worked for, and Tony Rigsby worked for
you him. Worked for him, and he worked on me.
He worked on all of us. He got us straightened out like a drill sergeant.
And then he went with the network TV.
He did everything. Yeah. He really did. Gosh, all of that just seems like yesterday. It really does. Does seem like it. All right. We're going to talk more about candy and plum butter.
Oh, that's some good stuff.
Yeah. What if you put a little plum butter on the candy?
I bet that's heavenly. You ought to try that, Rudy. But you know what? I brought some silverware for you.
Oh.
Here.
We can open up?
I think we're going to do a taste test. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Do we have time? We don't have time. Joel's shaking his head. Okay. We don't have time. Rufus is going to eat it anyway.
Reaction off air.
I'm going to wait till we come back on.
All right, we'll do that. But plum butter, we have. I have some Sweet Melissa's peanut brittle in here. I'm going to give some to our state auditor, and Patrick and Rufus have theirs. I wish I could give it to everybody. More of The Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. Merry Christmas, everybody! Ho, ho, ho!